congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is said that a picture is worth a thousand words. And this time in which we live would seem to be the age of the picture. Looking around us, we see illustrations, memes, diagrams, graphs, and visual aids. We have cartoons, still and animated, and films, shorts, features, and epics. But friends, this is nothing new. God has been using visual aids from the beginning. In paradise, he used trees to teach Adam and Eve obedience, and animals to teach them about marriage. Later, for Abraham, God pointed to the stars and used a ram in the thicket to make a point clear. The chosen people had many visual aids in the ceremonies and sacrifices. The sacrifices served as illustrations for a nation that did not have many books, such as the Bible, available for them to read every day. But we do have the Bible, congregation, and we have the Bible's teaching in abundance. And if we pay careful attention, we can still learn from the Old Testament illustrations. This afternoon, we want to look into a small detail of the burnt offerings, and we want to think carefully what we can learn from it. First of all, we need to know what a sacrifice is. Long ago, people brought sacrifices to the Lord. How did they do it? Why did they do it? A farmer would go to his herd. He would take a bull, not a cow, but a nice, healthy bull. He would bring it to the priest in the temple. The bull was killed and put on the altar. The altar was a very big fireplace with wood on it to make a fire. The meat of the animal was put on the fire, and in the case of the burnt offering, it was completely burnt. Why did they do that? They couldn't eat that meat, and the Lord certainly didn't need it as food. So what does this mean? Before the animal was killed, the man who brought the sacrifice would put his hand on the head of the animal. This gesture showed that this animal takes my place. I want to give myself to the Lord. I love the Lord so much. In the same way that this animal is burned on the fire, so am I burning with a fire of love for the Lord. That is what the sacrifice of the burnt offering meant. Nowadays, we have different kinds of ceremonies in our church services. The Lord's Supper, baptism. It's always good to ask what they mean. This afternoon, we want to see the meaning of this Old Testament ceremony. Perhaps it will help us to understand the ceremonies of our time better. In the first chapter of Leviticus, God prescribed what a man must do when he wants to bring a burnt offering. Then in chapter 6, an order is given telling what the priest must do to keep that offering burning. Unlike other offerings, the burnt offering was burnt completely. Nothing was to be eaten or thrown away. There were the usual ceremonies common to all animal offerings, such as the sprinkling of blood, a reminder of the blood, the life of the Saviour that takes the sins away and puts us right before God. But here is a special ceremony that reminds us of the work of the Holy Spirit, of sanctification, that keeps us right with God. This important ceremony performed by the priest was to remove the ashes every day as a symbol of the complete and continued dedication to God. When we have our campfire or fireplace burning, sooner or later we are faced with the unpleasant task of removing the ashes. Ashes can kill the fire because they cannot burn and they keep the air out. The task of the priest was to keep the fire burning. Every morning he had to go to the smouldering fire and stir it up so that the flames would burn the sacrifice again. The priest also had to gather the ashes and take them outside the camp, which meant they had to go outside the congregation. The fire of the offering is the fire of love for God. We are responsible for that fire, not only our own individual fires, but as New Testament priests, we must look after the fire in the congregation, and the congregation is responsible for the fire in the world. Every day, we must take the ashes out of the Christian community. If we don't look after the fire of love for God, it is in danger of being extinguished. Paul wrote, "Do not quench the Spirit." The fire in us is the fire of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, flames appeared on the congregation. And where the Spirit works, there we see fire. Our calling is to keep it burning. Therefore, we take away the hindrances that keep it from burning with its full brightness. To keep the flame burning brings happiness to ourselves and to others. However, this involves that most unpleasant of tasks. We have to remove the ashes. This removal of ashes is not to be taken lightly. Every morning, the priest had to put on linen clothes. Later, he must put on other clothes to take the ashes away from the congregation. He must put wood on the altar every morning. And on top of the burnt offering, he must burn the fat of the peace offering. The peace offering was an offering of thankfulness and sharing and fellowship. The fat of that offering makes the burnt offering burn better. Our thankfulness and fellowship make our continued dedication stronger. Brothers and sisters, young friends, are there ashes in your life? If we say no, then we should ask, is there fire in our life? If fire, then ashes. We have fire, love for God, love for our neighbour. So we must have ashes to take away. We realize that the great high priest, Jesus Christ, took our sins away on that great day of atonement. The reconciliation through blood is a task that only Jesus could fulfill. But we are priests of the New Testament. We have the daily task to look after the fire, to keep it burning. Last week, before we came to the Lord's Supper, we were called to prepare ourselves. The Old Testament had a similar ceremony before the Passover. 1 week before the celebrations, all the leaven had to be removed from the houses. Leaven made the bread to rise, but it also caused it to spoil easier. Leaven becomes a symbol for what corrupts in our lives. Now here in the ceremony of the ashes, we have a symbol for a daily returning activity to come to a fresh start and to continue in works of love. When we accept Christ's grace in faith, we rededicate ourselves to service. But in the daily course of life, things can damp the fire. The Apostle Peter reminds us that prayers can be hindered when the relationship between a husband and wife is not good. Ashes hinder a sincere prayer. They spoil a relationship with God. We notice the ashes first in marriage and in prayer, because in marriage two people are very close together, and in prayer we and God come close together. Then when a marriage is ailing, the dedication for kingdom work is ailing, and the whole congregation suffers. We might be tempted to ask, could we try not to make ashes? That is, of course, impossible. Any fire produces ashes. In our zeal for the Lord, we may be offensive to our fellow Christian. They might think that we are conceited or haughty or pushy. Sometimes we make other Christians feel unhappy, discouraged, or the other makes us feel frustrated and disheartened. Ashes are not necessarily sinful. The question is, do we clean them out regularly and in all humility? The priest had to put on other clothes to take the ashes from the camp. We must put on the clothes of humility and take the offensive things out of the congregation. We must be willing to admit our wrongs. Are we willing to find fault with ourselves? Are we willing and able to correct misunderstandings? We can find many reasons why our fire does not burn. The sermon does not fire us up. The service is cold. There is no fellowship in the congregation. But what about the ashes? Maybe our practice is to come to the service at the last minute or after it has started. Maybe we have not been praying for a blessed service, or perhaps we have been praying from the receiver's end instead of from the giver's end. We may have been waiting for the other person to do what we have neglected to do. Perhaps we have not been speaking with joy about the great works of God, and we did not sing with a heart filled with thankfulness. Our daily worries can form ashes. If we have become slaves to our work, and if we have no time to meditate, to pray with the heart, to talk to family members about the wonderful grace of Christ, then we are in danger. Our spiritual life is choked. From the outside it may look all right, but inside something is wrong. The contact with God is dwindling, our joy disappearing. Bible reading becomes a chore. Ashes are also caused by a self-centered life. Then we look for our happiness first of all. We have no time left for the kingdom of God. We don't know what is going on in church, on the mission fields, in education, and in the public square. We have no time to read about it. The trouble often is that we realize something is wrong. I should change. I should do better. But we leave it at that. But in the Old Testament ceremony, we are reminded to clean up every day. That will give us joy, far more joy, congregation. The Spirit is not quenched when we clean up and let the fire of dedication and love burn. We will attract people for the Lord when we live the joyful life through the Holy Spirit. We will receive more boldness in giving a testimony for our Saviour. Our family happiness will grow. The fellowship in the congregation and with other Christians will become more meaningful. And many doubts will fade away, and we will have assurance of faith that grows stronger day by day. When we put this Old Testament ceremony in New Testament light, we notice many helpful hints from the Lord Jesus and the apostles. The need for daily prayer, regular prayer, persevering prayer is emphasized. To fight the good faith, to be faithful in church attendance, to sing praises, to be joyful, to be at peace with your neighbor. These warnings are more than just moral lessons. They rest on the foundation of Christ's work. They are part of the Spirit's work in us to make us more like Christ. Their aim is to restore us to the image of God. Every time we hear and obey these admonitions, some ashes are removed and love bursts into flame once again. In the past week, we have prepared for the Lord's Supper as the Israelites did for the Passover. Often grudges are removed by Christians at that special occasion, and by God's grace, even at this morning's celebration. But there is this daily reminder. every morning, be prepared for a new bright day. Every morning, take away that which hinders the flame. We are inclined to say, I just cleaned it up yesterday, and now see the mess, the trouble, the ashes. But the Lord Jesus already cleaned up the biggest trouble, our sins that separated us from God. We now have unimpeded access to the Lord. He just leaves us to the daily cleaning of the ashes. He teaches us patience, patience and perseverance, patience with our neighbor and with returning ashes. But the reward is a great one. We find such a peace that passes understanding. We don't understand it, but we have it. It makes us humble to recognize our own problems and returning weakness. It also makes us thankful to see the Lord's patience and forgiveness. And we look forward to the moment when nothing will disturb the peace and joy in which we can serve the Lord in perfection forever. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we have been called to live lives of repentance and daily renewal, to strive after holiness and sanctification in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. May that word do its work in our hearts, that it may work in us a glad and wholesome response. Thank you that we have been washed in the blood of the Saviour and have been cleansed of our sins. May we, in gratitude, follow his example in lives that are pleasing to you. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.